Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock, our redeemer, the one who had Moses raise up the serpent in the wilderness so that all might have healing. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Moses, Jesus, Moses in the wilderness, the Gospel of John speaking of Jesus in his own wilderness, on his own journey. The writer of the Gospel of John, writing near the close of the first century, draws on our Old Testament passage this morning as he continues to speak to the wilderness experience of a new age. A new age of the infant Christian church in its struggles, where church and synagogue were engaged in mutual recriminations, and the rejection of Jesus was becoming much more common. John wants here to reclaim the covenant which God made with Moses through the creation of that bronze serpent pole for healing, and make a connection between that pole of healing which saved the lives of the Israelites in the wilderness and the crucifixion as a saving act where Christ was literally raised up on a pole so that we might all be healed of our sin. This is quite a connection that John makes by putting the analogy into the mouth of Jesus. As sometimes happens, the lectionary reading leaves out an important fact. This passage from John occurs during a conversation with the head of the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the ruling body for the Jews. It happens in the middle of the night when Nicodemus comes to question Jesus about matters which have been troubling him. Him, a teacher of Israel, he comes in the night under the darkness to ask Jesus how he can claim so much authority. The fact that the author of John has Jesus quoting from the Torah to a teacher of Israel in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, in the shadows, is quite significant. Because to the Johannine community, that early church community to which John writes, there was a huge struggle going on between the church, the Christian church, that was just an infant, and the synagogue. The fact that Jesus would argue successfully from the law was a sure sign of his continued authority, even after his death, and that the church and synagogue have more in common, even today, than they have difference. This argument, of course, did not convince everyone, however, although eventually Nicodemus did come around. You remember Nicodemus, right? He's the one that defended Jesus' right to a fair trial and then brought burial spices so that Jesus could have a proper Jewish burial. But not all were convinced, and the synagogue and churches eventually suffered an irreparable split. The author of John's reminder of the serpent pole which God commanded Moses to create in the book of Numbers is curiously reminiscent of something that we see every day. It is reminiscent of what we call the caduceus. All doctors know about this, all nurses, all medical professionals. The caduceus is that sign of healing. Modern people would make this connection almost solely on the logo of the medical profession, a pole wrapped with serpents and topped with eagle's wings. Some doctors' car licenses bear this symbol, and medical facilities use it almost everywhere. It is natural for us to think of it as a sign of the healer, therefore, like it was for Moses in the wilderness. But curiously enough, the symbol in its original form meant something different. Ancient mythology messengers carried a caduceus. The likes of Hermes and Mercury carried them, and they did so as a way to proclaim something. To proclaim something. The word caduceus is a Latin version of the Greek word charax, from which we get kerygma. And kerygma means proclamation. And we still use kerygma in our churches today to speak of proclamation, to speak of Bible studies that teach us about proclamation. Kerygma. And it means a herald or a preacher or a herald who proclaims. Messengers carried caduceuses, both to proclaim to everyone their office as a messenger, but also to provide protection against being molested on the roads and highways and byways as they went to take their message to the important places that they were going. Messengers carried the caduceus because they were highly regarded in the ancient world. If it weren't for them, the messages would never get through to the people in power and to the people who needed those messages. And so they were let to go about their business because the citizens considered them divinely appointed. And they carried the caduceus to remind people of that divine appointment. So the author of the Gospel of John was not just making an allusion in this gospel to a simple magic wand for healing. It is much more than that. It was an allusion to an event which provided divine protection and at the same time made a proclamation. Moses was the people's herald and savior in the wilderness. His caduceus was the symbol of that. And Jesus Christ raised up on a pole and crucified what we call the Christ event. Like Moses' impact, also was both a provider of divine healing of the ultimate sort, but also an event of future protection and an event which by its very action makes the ultimate proclamation. The caduceus raised in the wilderness by Moses. Jesus Christ lifted up on a pole as Savior. Indeed, as John puts it, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, to leave it to the serpents or to any other of the things that plague us. No, God sent the Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. The caduceus, Christ on a cross, herald, healer, protector, redeemer, and ultimate proclamation, for the cross is now empty. Jesus, a caduceus for the ages, our Savior. Amen. Before the hymn, I have been asked by our cabinet chair to give her some time at the pulpit, and I would graciously do that at this time.